Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Once again, my name is Christine Wyke. I am filling in for Phil Armstrong today. We have been working through the book of Revelation. I'd like to work it through as a verse-by-verse type of format. And we are up to chapter 6 this week and discussing the seals. Last week, I introduced the first seal, and I'll recap it a little bit to kind of keep the seals together here as we work through the next 30 minutes, and looking at Revelation, in the book of Revelation, I like to look at it in a more literal view with a common sense undertone or explanation to it. We'll start with Revelation 6, verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened up the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. He was given a crown and rode out as a conqueror and on conquest. This rider on the white horse, I believe, is not Christ himself. This is described later for us in Revelation, the end of the book Revelation, when Christ comes also on a white horse. But he is the conqueror. Here it states in verse 2 that he rode out as a conqueror. So that makes there's a difference here. I believe this rider on the horse is the Antichrist. Notice that the white horse did indicate great authority and a movement towards power that is unstoppable. And when the Antichrist arises, probably after he signs the seven-year treaty with Israel that is mentioned in Daniel, this is how he takes on an attitude of nobody can stop me, and he will have all the answers to everything, and the whole world will give him the power also to do what he wants. Notice that on the horse, he has a bow but no arrows. I believe that this is a clue here that the Antichrist will start out peacefully, probably with diplomatic ties, with working with the allies, working with other countries, with treaties, just working and getting what he wants by diplomacy and his position of authority, which notice it is given to him. The Bible does not say who the authority is given from, so it is possible that he gets voted in for this. He does not get this crown by taking it with force, but once he has this power of the crown, he moves very quickly to what he wants. Now notice that this will be a time of peace on earth, except for those who stand in the way of the Antichrist. This shows itself in the second seal. No one will dare to challenge the Antichrist as he sets out to reform the world. And this is where I do believe at this point the whole world is in awe of him. And this is also where I see the economic crisis that we are suffering today. It just will get worse. I know we see lots of positive signs. The market goes up and down. But I really do not see, according to the Bible here, that times get better before the Antichrist appears. Actually, times get worse. And this is where he arises to the forefront, having all the answers. And when he starts putting his ideas into place, you find then how the white horse and the whole idea of getting what he wants comes forward then. Let's look into the second seal. Starts with verse 3. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say. Now notice how each seal is reflected by a living creature. These are the four that were mentioned earlier. So the second living creature, and it doesn't say which one, said, come. And another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Here is your indication that there was peace during the time of the white horse, or the first seal. Now we see that the peace is gone. Perfect indication here that we are not in the tribulation period at the recording of this segment. There is no peace upon earth. We have wars everywhere, North and South Korea aiming guns at each other. This is not a time of peace right now. So this fulfillment has not occurred yet. Much bloodshed is occurring at this point in time. And I believe this is when the persecution of the Christians has begun, or those people who are standing in the way of the Antichrist. They will see the Antichrist for what he is, the danger that he is to become, and their destruction is demanded. Not really saying by who, but this could be from the Antichrist himself, which we will read later in Revelation, but it also could be with those who have joined with the Antichrist. Again, the rider of this horse is giving a great power to create chaos, indicating that the majority of the people will condone and participate in the killing that is about to progress with the opening of the seal. The third seal, verse 5. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the and the. This price inflation, if you would put it in today's terms, translates to about $20 for a loaf of bread. Now, we will discuss the trumpets later, but notice that the time frame here occurs also when the first couple of trumpets are blown. And this is where I have a little bit of proof that the trumpets are mixed in with the seals or the four horses. The first four seals occur during the entire timeline of the tribulation period. The trumpets are mixed in between. They do not follow the seals in order as a group. I think I did this explanation last week. When John is describing the seven trumpets, the seven seals, and the seven bowls, he has put them together as a group. Very much like when you are doing a painting. You start with mountains. Let's put the first four mountains in, first four horses, if you want to use the representation of it. You start all of the mountains first. Then you start with a group of seven trees, and you put them in. Now notice how you group them together. You do them one at a time, but you do not clump all the trees at the corner of the canvas after you finished your fourth mountain. Notice how you put the trees in periodic places or specific places throughout the canvas, starting from, let's say, the right corner all the way to the left corner, and then a couple in between. But you started with a group, but you put them throughout the entire canvas. I guess that's the best way we can describe Revelation. It is a canvas, but the items are not clumped together. So the seals are spread out like mountains, and then the seven trumpets are spread out like seven trees. And this is a perfect example how we will find how the trumpets, with the third of the earth being burnt up, all the green grass, all the green trees are burnt up, how that could explain how famine starts. And when we get to that next week, I've got an absolute awesome idea as to how that occurs. So if we have great inflation, the food supply gets scarce. We have less and less food. The price goes up. However, notice that the oil and the wine are untouched. This oil idea here could represent the same thing it meant at the time of John, fuel for energy. They burned olive oil for their lamps and probably for their heat. Further in Revelation, we know that business is booming for the government of the Antichrist. We will study that later as we see Babylon becomes a source of economic energy for the whole world. In order for that to happen, oil or energy needs to still be intact. And notice how the angel is instructed here, do not damage the oil. In fact, leave the energy sources alone. Now, wine could be interpreted in other ways. Jesus is stating here, or the angel is stating, leave the wine alone as well. Now, that we know was also, at the same time of John, a means of alcohol. Is this a possibility, then, that we have a growing tension and the difficulty of everyday living, that we now have the instruction here or the idea that we're going to see an increase in the abuse of alcohol consumption? I believe it makes sense here. Also, if we see the chaos brought on by the red horse, the killings and the murders as it indicates, there is the possibility that wine or alcohol plays a part of this. We all know that when you combine alcohol and possibly the drug use, we combine alcohol and drugs, good behavior tends to disappear. And notice, you tend to drink, or people tend to drink, with others. And if times are tough, and it's difficult to feed a family, and there's a tremendous amount of chaos going on upon the earth, alcohol is the first thing many people will turn to in large groups, and then behavior tends to go downhill. I believe this is an easy explanation, then, to understand why wine, or possibly all drugs combined, are to be left alone. In other words, the use of them will increase. The fourth seal, Revelation 6, verse 7. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades followed close behind. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. With the opening of this seal, we now know that the pale horse with hell following shows death and judgment on the earth. This can only occur at the end of the 7 years, in conjunction with the bowls of wrath. Again, another clue that the seven seals do not happen first and then the trumpets start to happen. They are blended together. And this is how you can now separate the first four seals, which is already separated for us in the Bible as a group of horses. So the first four seals, or the horses, are a group. The last three seals are another group, and we are described as part of the woes. Now, the first four horses fill the entire 7 years, and that's how we get the indication that the last horse is at the end. Another way to describe this is the first horse comes on the scene. That was the Antichrist. As time moves along, we don't know how long, but shortly thereafter, a second horse joins in. And that second horse was the violence. Now, a third one joins in. Violence, you know, coupled with your famines and your plagues that are occurring with the trumpets and your inflation. And then now the fourth one comes in. They all finish together at the end. If the first horse is the Antichrist, the bloodshed that follows does not allow the first horse to fade away. The first horse keeps riding. The Antichrist still continues on. But the red horse destroys the peace. And so this is the reason why I don't believe that the rider on the first horse is Jesus Christ. If the Antichrist horse continues along and the bloodshed of the red horse joins in, that's with the black horse, now we have the Antichrist, the killing, and then we add the additional horse, the black one now continues with the red one. You couple that now with Antichrist, killing, and now the famine and the inflation, these all run together, all at the same time, like a relay race, if you can do that. But the original runner still keeps going along with the others. Now the pale horse is waiting to join in, and he brings death. And they all four complete the end of the tribulation period. The wild beasts of the earth are the governments or groups of authority who are ruled or controlled by the Antichrist. I believe that these run independently with their own set of rules. I do not believe that these wild beasts are actually animals. Revelation does not refer to beasts as animals. They are referred to a ruling authority. I believe 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32 helps us with this. In there, in chapter 15, verse 32, Paul is speaking of, and here's the quote, "If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained?" Paul is referring to the government in Ephesus, or the Roman government, who was constantly putting him in prison for preaching the gospel. We know this of the many accounts that he gives us. Was he talking about lions and bears, the wild beasts? No, he was not. He was referring to the governments of the Roman Empire that were putting him into prisons for human reasons, his testimony. That, I believe, is a clear clue to us of what a beast means in Revelation. It is a form of a government. Verse 9 of Revelation, the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. Notice here on the fifth seal, this is after the fourth horse, that we leave the scenes on earth, and it's the opening of this seal that we are taken into heaven. And this is where I see the shift in the seals. The timing of this is before Judgment Day. This scene shows that there is a persecution and a killing of the believers on earth during the time of the seals. To me, this is a clear indication that we are here during the tribulation period as believers, a portion of it. The rapture has not yet taken place. The souls under the altar are those believers who have been killed during this beginning of the tribulation period. Notice that they have a loud voice. And I think the loud voice is indicating that there are many, many believers at this point. Of course, they're all loud if one per person. But the loud voice here indicates that there are many, many of them making the combination of their voices loud. Now, these people under the altar are to meet up with the others who are killed in the same way after time has passed. This is the time in the tribulation period. And this is perfect way that God does this to keep them together as a special group for recognition. Now, we will get to this when we start Revelation chapter 7. There is a clue there that a group of believers who come out of the tribulation period are separated and are given separate treatment. I believe God keeps this group together as a form of honor, to be with a group that has special attention from God means that they've gone through something special. They've done something special. Very similar to being in a large area and you see a group of military soldiers. They're dressed differently. They have medals of honor. And that is for a reason. And automatically, you associate them with somebody different than yourself, but somebody different than everybody else in the crowd as well. And we honor them, and we think highly of them. That's the same situation here in Revelation. This group under the altar needs to hang in there a bit longer and wait until the rest of their group joins them. The sixth seal. I watched and he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. Stars in the sky fell to the earth as lake figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. And when the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave, every free man, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath has come. Who can stand?" This is now doomsday for the unbeliever. The rapture at this point in time of the tribulation period, I believe, has now already occurred. And I place the opening of the sixth seal towards the end of the tribulation, or near the end. This is the time when the bowls of wrath are about to be poured out. And the clue that is given to me for that is what these people are saying. They cry out, "The wrath of God has come." Now, this is where I see the error of those who feel that the wrath of God is the beginning of the tribulation with the opening of the first seal. And that's where they place the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation period or before the tribulation period begins. Those are what people are referred to as pre-tribulation. This here is an indication that the wrath of God is come at the sixth seal, or will happen after the sixth seal. The wrath of God is not shown to us in the first seal. That is not it. The wrath of God is the pouring of the bowls of wrath. That's another indication. So we can now assume that the believers will go through the first six seals, or at least the first five seals. Again, excluding the fourth horse, because these are mixed in. The last three seals are, again, intimately mixed in with the four horses. This is what makes Revelation so confusing. But keep looking at the clues. If the wrath of God has come, this is towards the end, at the time of the bowls. Notice also that the seventh bowl uses much of the exact wording described here, what happens on the earth. It is told from a different view or a different angle. We will study this as we get into the trumpets and actually the bowls of wrath, when those are described as the sky receding as a scroll and so on. We can also go back to the words of Jesus. I believe it is in Mark. Sorry, I do not have the verse here. Going back to the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is indicating when these things start to pass, when you start to see the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened, when you're seeing the signs in the heavenly skies, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again, an indication that we need to go through a portion of things, and then we look up for our redemption, which is the rapture. The seventh seal, now this is interesting. If you follow the sequence and where it is placed, notice that the seventh seal is in Revelation 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. Take attention here that between the sixth and the seventh seal, there is a gap. It's a whole chapter that speaks about something entirely different. That has got to be an indication to us as readers that there's a shift in events between the sixth and the seventh seal. This also happens between the sixth and the seventh trumpets as well. Now, the opening of this seventh seal just states silence. And at this time, I believe that all of heaven is holding its breath. We can match this up at this point of the seventh seal to be also the same time that the Battle of Armageddon is about to begin. It is like the calm before the storm. Is it possible that the silence here indicates that Jesus has left heaven to trample the winepress, which we actually study later? If the armies are gathered together at the place called Armageddon for war, they are also gathered there for the great slaughter to be at the hands of Jesus, at the same time that the 100-pound hailstones fall. Can this then be the seventh seal, which couples itself with the sixth seal? And we also indicate that a half an hour can be used literally, 30 minutes that it takes Jesus to do this. We will study this later as we talk about the trampling of the winepress and its relationship to Armageddon. My name again is Christine Weick, W-E-I-C-K. I appreciate Phil for letting me work with him today. I have written a book titled Explain This. You can reach me at my website and my book as well, which this is the book that I've been working with everybody at the listening audience. My website is www.explainthis.us. You can reach me toll-free at 1-888-653-9752. I'm also on Facebook, and just click onto Phil's Facebook account and you will see me. I have a picture of my book. It's orange. I can't miss that. It is an orange cover with the title of Explain This on there. I wish you well as the upcoming holidays. May you have a good day.